talking about issues that apply to all prisoners. And we have the Gitmo prisoners. They're involved. There's some way they got to be involved because they get probably the most nationally or internationally publicized abuse. And there's immigrant detention prisoners who are not convicted at all.
Right.
And in some cases, they're treated worse than, you know, general prisoners. So this is going to be a pretty broad network. I mean, it can't be limited.
Totally agree.
Yeah. We're talking about a common interest of all prisoners. Once you're locked up, you know, you got to be able to control your environment in some kind of way.
So I want to start by just, like, starting with who you all are, what your background is, why you do this work, and why you think it's important. So,
okay.
Ed.
The 13th Amendment abolished slavery for everyone except those convicted of a crime. Thus, we have 2.3 million slaves in the United States, disenfranchised from the political process, kept in conditions of dependency and irresponsibility. We all know that if you put a dog in a cage and poke a stick in at it, day in and day out, week in and week out, on and on, that ultimately you're going to have a vicious animal on your hands. Well, almost everybody in prison gets out, and unless something is done, they're going to internalize that rage and then take it out on their wives, their children, their neighbors, the community. It just doesn't make good sense. You don't get something good as a result of doing bad things to people. And what happens to people in prison is bad.
Makes sense. You want to talk about your history? So this is Ed Mead, and how did you come into doing this work?
My name is Ed Mead, and I was a state-raised prisoner, pretty much. I started doing time at the age of 13. In the mid-60s, I became politicized, and every while a prisoner at McNeil Island Federal Prison. And ever since then, I've been doing some level of prison support work, either from the inside or the outside.
Cool. And Mark, you want to talk about your background a little bit?
Yeah, I'm Mark Cook, and I spent probably 40 years behind lock and key. Since I was the age of 14 years old. And a lot of the brutal treatment I received while being incarcerated pointed me in the direction I'm headed today. I became an advocate and activist in the late 60s, during the time of the Vietnam War, the Black Panthers, et cetera. In fact, I helped found a Black Panther chapter within a prison. I've always been doing, when I'm doing time, a stand-up convict. In other words, I'm not a snitch. You know, if there's a strike call, I go down with the strike. I generally follow the leadership. But I was, after doing so much time, I became part of that leadership, and I was able to pick new directions based on being, you know, kind of politicized by the Panther Party and the Weather Underground. And we got newspapers and literature that came into prison about that time. And so we were able to, some of us were able to move in a different direction. And since that time, I've moved to several different organizations, but always as a prisoner advocate. That was the basis of all my work.
Mm-hmm.
And in becoming involved in the George Jackson Brigade, that was part of their program. Not just an altruistic thing. We were empowering ourselves because we were in prison. And after getting out of prison, we are still abused and neglected by the government, different state, federal, and local governments. So we figure this is in our interest to help those people, because in helping them, we're going to help ourselves. Empowering them, we're going to empower ourselves.
That's awesome. So what work are you all doing right now in supporting prisoners? What prison background?
Primarily, what we're doing is supporting the hunger-striking prisoners in California. Their first hunger strike, according to the Department of Corrections figures, not our own, there were 6,600 participants. The second hunger strike, there was just under 12,000 participants. And the final hunger strike kicked off with 30,000 prisoners participating. So this is a point of conflict between the most oppressed against the state apparatus of repression. And so if there's any segment of society that needs to be supported, it's that segment. So Mark and I put out a monthly newsletter called The Rock. And it goes primarily to California prisoners, although we also have a growing readership in the state of Washington and in the state of Oregon. And I, for the last 13 years, I've been the editor of a quarterly newspaper called Prison Focus out of Oakland. And both Mark and I are active in the National Lawyers Guild. He can talk about that more.
Yeah, well, I've been I've decided to take on the responsibility of the vice president of the National Lawyers Guild National Prison Project, and to make it what we wanted to make, you know, in issues of prisoners as a first shot. A long time ago, is they put out a newsletter called the Midnight Special. Well, right now we have a design. It's called It's Rock. These are prisoners speaking to the issues in prison, the issues that they want changed, the issues they want attacked. And they set out the program how they were going to attack it. This first time was through a hunger strike. But again, it's mainly the prisoners inside. Even though we're, you know, ex-prisoners, it's still convicts. We have a word in this, and we get to speak as editors in this newsletter. Mm-hmm. Most of it is written by the prisoners inside themselves. And it helps them to grow inside, to organize inside. Just by writing these letters, other prisoners know, hey, I can join in because I know something. Maybe we can make it work.
Mm-hmm.
My part right now is not exactly a treasurer. Both treasurers in this thing. But stamps are the thing that makes this thing spread throughout the prison system. I have a newsletter here for June. And there's one prisoner, he says, enclosed is 60 stamps. Now, he's gone through his whole unit pod collecting these stamps from other prisoners. 50 cents a piece. That's a lot of money for inmates inside. But this is his one run. And he says, when I get a chance, I'll get you some more. Letter after letter comes to us this way. They come with stamps inside of it. And most of the newsletters that go out are paid for by the prisoners. To start off with, they paid for everything. They paid for stamps, all the newsletters.
For the first 2 years.
Yeah, for the first 2 years. The printing, the printing cartridges that were needed, paper, everything was paid by them. Because they knew they needed this communication between each other so everybody would be on the same page. They picked up four main issues that they were going to speak to. Other prisoners started sticking more issues, and they said, no, we got to get these four resolved first. And just trying to get those four resolved is a pain in the butt.
Uh-huh.
The administration will say, oh, yeah, we'll do this, then back off and say, no, we're not going to do it, or change jobs and put somebody else take their place and said, well, I didn't say that. It's a hard struggle for them inside, but they're doing that struggle. Their families and friends are helping them. There's a lot of advocates that are helping them, but they are calling all the shots how this help is supposed to go about.
In terms of a national action of some sort, there does need to be a publication that reaches prisoners across the United States. And I'm not sure what that would be, but I do know that it would take money and people power to be able to do that.
I've talked to people from the San Francisco Bay View who said that they would run like press release or something like that somewhere in their back pages about this having been announced.
As would we.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How are we getting into Arkansas? How are we getting into Tennessee?
Mm-hmm.
And we had never been into Gitmo. Okay, uh-huh. And a lot of the immigration bridges, a large majority are Hispanic. We don't do a Hispanic thing. We need people who can keyboard this thing in Spanish and send it into them. Get the Puerto Rican prisoners, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, it's a lot of work to be done, and we have to come up with the ideas. Ed and I have to come up mostly with the ideas of how about that? To hit those targets. We'd like it to go national, you know, but it takes a lot of money. We're not millionaires, you know. We're not big-time fundraisers.
So the guys who have called for September 9th of this year, What do you think the outcome of that might be if they go forward with that?
I think the results will be mixed. I called for a statewide one-day work strike in Washington State some years ago for no purpose other than for prisoners, for us to see how strong prisoners were, how much unity there was, and for prisoners to see how much unity we had on the outside. When they went down for that one day, we would be demonstrating in Seattle in front of the King County Jail. The administration got wind of what was happening, and in many prisons around the state, locked up people they thought might be leadership. The Washington State Penitentiary went down about 70%. The McNeil Island prison, it's a state prison now, went about 50%. And the same for prisons around the state, except for the women's prison at Purdy. They not only stopped working that day 100%, they also refused to eat. So I think the results will be, if the saturation can be done, mm-hmm. I think the results will be something similar, maybe 50%.
Okay. Cool. And what do you think that we on the outside can do to improve the chances of that?
We have to get the word in to outside support people, or if we have the connections to prisoners in every state, in every prison. Mm-hmm. So you can see that that's a huge job
right.
to accomplish in a very short amount of time.
And every state has multiple prisons. You may be able to get a small court in one prison to communicate with each other, but they've got to spread through all the other prisons. That's the hardest part.
Right.
When you talk about something national, you know, and you're looking at 50-plus states, you know, you've got more than 50 territories and states to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big job. I don't know if it can be done by September. That's a really short period of time. I even say almost 5 years is a short time trying to get all of these people on the same page, because it's going to fluctuate. Like there was this thing with California prisoners, it peaked, and now it's going down. I'm hoping it'll peak again and go beyond that last mark they made.
Uh-huh.
I'm hoping, but I'm, you know, here in Oregon and Washington, all I can do is facilitate their rap, and they're getting a pretty good rap. You know, the letters they send us, and we send back for everybody to read, are pretty strong, pretty good.
And another thing that will impact this is that if you're talking about a hunger strike, you know, the administration could just blow that off.
Mm-hmm.
It's a work strike that is really going to accomplish something. And, you know, if a quarter of the population doesn't eat, that's not going to get any mention.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to. So, I agree with Mark. It's, you know, it's a big job in a very short period of time.
Even some of the strongest prisoners, they don't work. They can't do a work strike. That's why they did a hunger strike.
Uh-huh.
They didn't know work for it.
Right.
Well, that's in the shoe, but we're talking about general population.
There's a leadership in the general population. Where's the leadership? Yeah. We know there's a leadership in the shoe. We don't know any leadership out there in the population.
Mm-hmm. I've talked to people who are doing support for the Free Alabama movement, and they say that their plan right now is they're not going to announce when they go do the next work strike, because they announced the last one and it was
shut down
because of that. But the people on the outside say that they understand that the prisoners are planning on doing another kind of more surreptitious surprise work stoppage, and would potentially be able to coordinate that with a hunger strike that is being called for up in the north. And so I agree with y'all that getting that kind of work stoppage, I do support work for Sean Swain, anarchist prisoner in Ohio, and just suggesting that prisoners could shut down everything by just laying on their beds. And he means shut down the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
Got him thrown in the hole. And so I think that is what the real threat is. And So we need to be able to build the outside support to have the backs of guys who take that kind of stand. And that's what I'm hoping this website will be able, right, begin to be able to do, build it on our legs. But
the repression will come. Uh-huh. If prisoners go on a work strike, or even a hunger strike to a lesser extent, those who they think are ringleaders will be locked up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just going to happen.
Right. I can't remember the questions that I had. How would you all propose reaching out to prisoners in states where there's not already a prison movement, or institutions like women's prisons or things like that that aren't as involved?
Through publications.
Okay, mailing in newsletters, right, like The Rock.
Of course, that means like that, getting names and addresses of prisoners.
Uh-huh.
Now, which is not hard to do because BOLE produces, the Prison Activist Resource Center, they produce a directory that goes into prisons across the United States. And prisoners write them from every prison in the United States. They can get names and addresses, and then letters can be sent in to those prisoners, and they share those things with other prisoners.
Uh-huh.
And that would be a way to do it.
Right, and Books to Prisoners projects could also be a way to do it.
Books to Prisoners, the same thing, yes.
Uh-huh.
So just what doesn't happen, what doesn't exist and what needs to exist is a national database of prisoners.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm trying to... How could somebody who's new to this work get involved? What advice would you give to somebody who has never done anything this before?
And there's so many different ways, because there's a lot of grassroots groups that are interested in what's happening in prisons, that people who have never been in prison before. Like in Washington State, we have the prison to pipeline, I mean, school to prison pipeline group, and the so-called WISH group, or the New Jim Crow group. These people have never been in prison at all, have no idea what it's really about, been getting everything out of a book, and then trying to teach other people about it. So it's...
And a book is a good start, like the No New Jim Crow, or books by prisoners, like that's a good start. But in terms of getting involved, I mean, something as simple as going to a mailing party, you know, putting on stamps and address labels, and then just from there right on up, I mean, uh-huh, just all sorts of things. Keyboarding prisoner articles.
Mm, right.
Not only do you get an understanding of what the prisoners are saying, but a lot of stuff can't be printed until someone does the thankless work of keyboarding.
Every once in a while when I accumulate writings, mm-hmm, from prisoners, I just post on Facebook, I've got writings, anybody want to volunteer to type them up? And the most unexpected people will say, yeah, send me something, and then they'll be like, thank you for sending me that. I was insightful to read that as I was typing.
Right.
Cool. What other strategies, like long-term strategies, would you like to see people on the outside, or tactics, would you like to see people on the outside kind of developing?
People on the outside, we formed a group called Free Us All in Seattle during the last California hunger strike, and we did demonstrations. We put on two hip-hop events in the Central District, printed 10,000 broadsheets, and circulated them nationally. But the main thing, I think, for us was being in contact with the prisoners. And the primary thing to do, the most important thing to do for outside people, is to amplify the voice of prisoners, in whatever means you can find to do that. Amplify their voice. The rest will flow.
Cool. Awesome. I think that's all the questions that I had. Do either of you have anything else you'd like to contribute or say or share?
No, that's about it for
me. And lots of luck.
Okay.
Yeah. Have our support. Yeah. Thank you. There is a thing like, you know, if they don't write a letter, send a prisoner organization a stamp or some money so they can continue to do the work. Because they will, there's a lot of groups around. They can find groups that will do work. You don't have to give a fortune to these groups.
Uh-huh.
They'll take anything, you know, to keep moving.
Right.
Just by accident, I talk about we needed stamps last night. We got over $50, you know, contributions right on the spot.
Right.
But they got to talk about it and see what they need. Bo talked about she needs bags of food to give to hungry people. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how, what other way she can do it, but she spoke there, and some of the people are interested. They will do it. They'll drop by and put food on her porch. But
right.
You were there, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's, I've worked with a Books to Prisoners project in Columbus, Ohio for a while, mm-hmm. Which was also an activist, like, prison abolitionist organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that thing of asking for help or asking for money is sometimes difficult for people.
Yeah. And you don't, yeah, because you don't generalize, just some people who are affluent, you know, they do have the money.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't want nobody to know it, you know.
Right.
And they'll write off them checks, like, you know, and you might get it in the mail, but you'll never really know who you got it from.
Right.
And there's some people who don't have anything. I mean, they're scuffing themselves, you know, mm-hmm. feeling the same heat or pressures that the prisoners are feeling. It's a broad population we're working with. Inside of prison, when Ed and I worked, we had reactionary prisoners outnumbered the ones who are trying not to be reactionary.
Uh-huh.
And some were deliberately trying to remain actionary, you know, racist or Nazis or, you know, whatever, you know. The motorcycle gang was the most important thing to them. Nothing outside of that, you know.
Uh-huh.
And there's a various motorcycle gang. There's a lot of reactionaries inside. Some, even among those, I remember there are those who are leaning strongly toward a common cause.
Mm-hmm.
They still want to fly their colors and stuff like that.
Right.
And writing letters to them, getting letters from them, you'll find those people. You find Bible backers writing to you. We had one who wanted prisoners to sell their organs, you know. You're not doing nothing to laying in prison, so why don't you just donate your organ? Not knowing these guys are going to be startled when they just get paroled and going to need everything they got inside. If they pull an organ out, they're going to fry it in the frying pan.
Right.
Yeah.
Working with the Lucasville Uprising guys, there's some of that going on because, you know, they came across racial factions when the uprising happened, and Jason Robb, I've met with him a couple of times. He's still somehow affiliated with the Aryan Brotherhood, but you can see the solidarity that he has with Keith Lamar and Sadiq Abdul Hassan and the actions that they've taken together, the hunger strikes and things like that. It's really inspiring to see people come across those kinds of
things.
Yeah,
exactly what's happening in California.
One of the four main leaders in California, I think, Aryan Brotherhood,
mm-hmm.
supposedly the head of the Aryan Brotherhood, he's telling them, get off that shit now because we need, you know, we need to get together with everybody.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And it's, compared to what's going on here where people are so divisive over Christian Williams writing an article.
Yeah, silent.
It's like, can't we learn from the people who are overcoming far broader divisions, mm-hmm. and why can't we get our shit together? I don't know.
The whole idea is trying to get it together. They're apart when they come to the group. They understand that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they just want to stay apart. Just come in as their little group and sit in the corner. And whether they stand up or not, that's lots of times just what they do.
Uh-huh. Cool.
Well,